Blog Talk Radio.
Right. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope everyone is doing well. Thank you for tuning in to Lock and Talk on the Best of News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I am your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And you guys can always reach out to me at any one of my social handles on Twitter at Locker_Report, on Facebook, Locker-Report.com. And also Locker Talk Podcast on Instagram, Locker Report 100, all small caps. Or you can simply shoot me an email via at Barry Barnes at Locker-Report.com. Well, I hope everyone is safe inside their homes as the country is still going through the coronavirus, with the pandemic that was going on. That somewhat still have the country on hostage. However, you know, there definitely will be brighter days. You know, there's definitely light in the tunnel. I know that all our powers that be, all of our authoritarian figures that's involved, our healthcare, everywhere from the commander-in-chief himself on down to your local government are doing the best thing they can to make sure that everyone stay healthy, everyone stay alive, and then to appropriately open things up real soon so that we can get back to our old normalcy. There were some things I would say during this whole situation that positive, you know, certain things that forces us to stay home with our families a little more, to get to know our kids a little better or our spouses, you know, get to know them a little better, find other ways to be able to exercise entertainment, which is great. But at the same time, when everything opens back up, that'll be great too. Hopefully, we can take the positives out of this situation and then apply it to our normal lives that when everything get back together. The only thing that hurt me during this whole situation was not able to have the workouts of the NFL Regional Combine, which put players in a situation where they felt as though that was their only opportunity to really have to be able to get in front of NFL decision makers, to be able to have that opportunity to say, okay, this is what I can do, and pretty much showcase their skill set, so the true NFL decision makers can actually help see clarity of some players that they may have missed or overlooked. But without those workouts, it kind of hampered that opportunity. However, although the workouts did not happen, does not mean that these players that were invited to the NFL Regional Combine Invitational don't have value, and also does not say they don't have no worth to be able or any value to play in the league, because their talent definitely speaks volumes for themselves, and now they're going to have an opportunity to still get an opportunity, receive that phone call. This is the NFL 2020 NFL Draft Weekend, where most of these guys probably won't get drafted, but to still be able to be in position to receive a phone call, a life-changing phone call, is still just as great as getting their name called, walking across the stage, although that didn't happen this year, but still get that name called. And we all know that, especially listening to this show, that majority of the players in the league, around 56-57%, are loaded with guys that did not get drafted. So just because their name was not called does not mean they're not NFL worthy. And we've seen countless times how players were able to receive that phone call after the last player name was called. And I believe and had always said that anywhere from the sixth to seventh round anyway, it's pretty much just basically saying you're getting a camp invite. To me, that's just as equivalent to someone who is technically undrafted. It's just pretty much to bring you in. They like what they see. They just want to grab you before you receive that phone call from another team where you have a choice to go to a particular team that you want to go to. So in the sixth and seventh round, it just basically spells out like, hey, we like you. We want to get you a little early so we can claim you a lot sooner so that we will not miss out on another team snatching you up. So to me, that's what the sixth and seventh round stands for. And I know that we had a good draft. Things, a little drama, not much drama in the first round. But for the regional combine process here, for what LockerDashReport.com reports on the NFL, everything set up and predicated to the NFL regional combine, Saturday is the biggest day for the draft in this case. And this is what this show is about, setting you up for NFL starts of tomorrow, today. And hopefully I name some of these players. And then if I didn't get to everyone's names on this show, make sure you go to LockerDashReport.com to be able to read up on the players to watch out for. And these guys who I'm mentioning are guys that received the invitational to go to the NFL Regional Combine. And although they did not have a workout, but the fact that they were able to earn the invite still makes them pioneers, which still allow me the opportunity to be able to talk about these players, follow their careers, and pump them up as if I saw these guys at the Miami Dolphins practice facility in late March of this year. Again, it didn't happen, but hey, life's go on and opportunities are still there. And we just want to give some a shout out to some of the guys who would deserve an opportunity to play in the NFL. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. And we're going to jump right to it. Now, the last 2 weeks, we talked about the platform with the HBCU Combine, how we went 1 week with the offense and 1 week with the defense. Today, we're going to focus on the players that have received the invite to the NFL Regional Invitational. So we're going to jump right into that. We're going to talk about some offensive players, some names to watch out for this weekend. I would say on my end, from covering the NFL Regional Combine pretty much since 2014, there were a lot of players that came through. Some players became Pro Bowlers. Many of the players earned mega contracts from where they were at when they entered into an NFL practice facility on one knee, looking up, listening to the advisors that were there, receiving instructions on how to have a successful interview, which led to a solid NFL career. But I would have to say that with this class, if there was a workout, this probably would have been the best offensive grouping of talented players that was ever going to be host on the NFL Regional Combine stage. And with the quarterbacks they had, you know, some legitimate, decent quarterbacks, and there were four. And one of them that definitely was really solid was Mason Fine from North Texas. On the short side, 5'9", 190 pounds, will not jump off anyone's draft board because of his height. And that's the unfortunate part with the height. I mean, it still plays a role in the league. You know, 5'9", is still 5'9", but what a player is going to do with that 5'9". One thing I can say about Fine is that he is a pure passer. He's very tough. He does not have happy feet. He has good pocket presence, very mobile. He's deadly accurate, especially he's deadly accurate, especially outside the hash marks. He throws a deep ball very well. He's consistent, very athletic, but he's better on design runs. Strong, go through his progressions well, throw his wide receivers open, fundamentally sound. He throws through his hips, and he have a solid release. He's one of those players to look out for this weekend, probably receiving a phone call just because of his height. But if he was at least 2 inches taller, he probably would definitely be a solid draft pick and probably would be somewhere in a high to mid draft pick if he was a little taller. But his skill set speaks for itself. Hopefully that will still give him the opportunity, that green light, to be able to showcase his skill set on the highest level of professional football. Quentin Harris from Duke, 6'1", 200 pounds. More of a play-action quarterback, very athletic, smart. He sells the play-action very well. He's exceptional in the short passing game. He does throw a good deep ball, have good form, leg spacing, stays on his toes, solid arm strength, good mechanics, confident, and he read through his progressions very well. We have Tyler Huntley from Utah, 6'1", 205 pounds. Another play-action type of quarterback, athletic. He creates great spacing in the pocket, meaning that he's going to drop back in his 3-5-7, drop back a little further out so that he can be able to step up in the pocket to be a little bit more mobile in the pocket. He does not look to run. He wants to be able to make plays from the pocket, which allows him, and he actually allows him with that great spacing to be able to have the opportunity to do that. He is very mobile, have good strong, have good arm strength, throws a good deep ball, good feet, very speedy for the position, get the ball out quickly, can play under center, very patient, have decent mechanics, good vision, and he do throw well on the run. So that's important. With the pressure that the NFL, these defensive players are sending out, you got to be able to be mobile and still throw on the run, which is something that he can do very well. Perhaps the best quarterback that this platform has ever, would have ever hosted in Bryce Perkins from out of Virginia, 6'3", 210 pounds. Now, this young man manipulates the pocket very well. He has thin plays from the pocket first, have a good release. He quarterbacks the position, meaning that this guy's a pure quarterback. He's not out there trying to be gung-ho with his legs. He's really out there trying to be a quarterback, which is fantastic. He's a leader. He has elite speed for his position. He has burst, and he rifles the ball, especially underneath. His small ball game is really, really good. Very patient. He's aggressive when need to. He's not going to force the ball down the field, but he will be aggressive. He has great feet, strong arm, excellent in reading through his progression. He put his receivers in playmaking situations where they can actually make plays at the run. He does not take big hits, and he's a solid option quarterback. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. And when we're going to take a quick pause, and when we come back, we're going to dive into some more players to watch out for, and then probably venture over into the defense side of the ball as well. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network.
Hey, this is L.A. Bachelor reminding you, if you're looking for real discussion on sports, politics, religion, and other topics, you need to join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern at WCOMFM.org, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/LA-Bachelor, and on Thursdays at the same web address. Follow us on Facebook at Pad Nation, on Twitter, Pad Nation, #2, at Twitter, LinkedIn, and you can email us with your requests, your comments, your concerns, anything you want at our email address at labachelor40@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Pad Nation, Instagram, and of course, if you miss any part of our broadcast, make sure you go to thebachelorpadnetwork.com and listen and enjoy the Bachelor Pad.
Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. If you guys have any questions during this show at any time, hit me up on any one of my social handles, Twitter, Locker_Report, Facebook, LockReport.com, or the Locker Talk podcast. On Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps, or shoot me an email via Barry Bonds@Locker-Report.com. And also tune in to the Bachelor News Radio Network all week long, where we have programs and shows all set up to talk about any topic you want to hear, anything dealing with religion, the current news, social matters, government, politics, a little bit of comedy, a little bit of entertainment, a little bit of everything. We got more shows coming to the network, so make sure you guys stay tuned. And, of course, you know, when it comes down to sports, authentic NFL news, I got you right here. A host of guests that come on every week, you guys will not be disappointed as the Bachelor News Radio Network is moving to higher levels. So make sure you guys stay tuned with this network. Going places, folks. And now back to what you're talking about, Foss, with the players that would have been at the NFL Regional Combine Invitational in Miami, but it was canceled due to the corona pandemic. But fortunately, more lives probably were saved for the moves that the country has made. But right now, we get right back to it, talking about some offensive guys that would have came through the platform that still garner and still should get that opportunity to play in the NFL and jump in. We just got finished talking about the quarterbacks. We talked about, quarterbacks and Bryce Perkins and Mason Fine and with Huntley over in Utah. So we had some good players there, and Quentin Harris from Duke University. So they were the quarterbacks that would have been at the platform this year. Now we're going to get to some ball carriers. And I would say these three running backs here, I would be shocked if all three of these guys or if none of these guys didn't get a phone call or even get drafted. These guys are some high-caliber guys that I would say elite in a lot of levels. You know, running back Jason Huntley from New Mexico State, 5'193 pounds. This kid is so explosive. He is dangerous in the open field, excellent in tight spaces, great feet and hands, run the route tree from the backfield with no exceptions very well. That's huge in the NFL. Very agile, shifty, great stop, start, and go. Fantastic plant and go, meaning he will stop and take off. Very smart, great vision and awareness, has balance and control, solid pad level, meaning that he gets his pads down to absorb those blows. He's an all-purpose talent, meaning that he can also be a return man as well. And he has breakout potential on every touch. Watch out for the guy, Jordan Huntley from New Mexico State. Another guy, Tavon Feaster from South Carolina. Oh, my goodness. 6 foot, 221 pounds. This guy's on the heavy side, but if I can only express just one word about his talent, he's explosive. He has a great burst. If he get behind the secondary, he get behind, you're not catching him, period. And that's fantastic for a running back. He has excellent plant and go, secures the ball high and tight, does not hesitate to hit a hole, reads gap assignments well, great hands, great feet, strong, great vision and awareness, good route runner from the backfield. Like I said, has elite speed, dangerous in the open field. He's a home run speed. That's how I like to categorize in the article. Good pad level, agile, and extremely aggressive. Watch out for that guy. Running back Xavier Jones from SMU, 5'11", 208 pounds. This dude is probably one of the most shiftiest guys that I've ever seen carry the ball. One of them, definitely. Not going to compare him to no NFL player because, honestly, in my opinion, it's really ignorant to compare a college player to an NFL player that played in the league when these college players have not played a down in the league. That's one thing you're not going to hear on Locker Talk, a whole bunch of fluff, a whole bunch of rhetoric just to sound important. It would be unfair to categorize these young talented players to players that played in the NFL already, and they haven't had a chance to play yet. But when I look at a player like this, still not going to compare to no one, but just looking at the talent as is, how these players should be looked at as is, instead of trying to compare, I think it's foolish on a lot of levels. You won't get that here on Locker Talk. the Bachelor News Radio Network. Xavier Jones, SMU, very shifty. He has exceptional footwork, great stop, start, and go, tremendous vision and awareness, elusive, agile, slippery, I like to say, patient, calculated, yet aggressive, solid in traffic, great plant and go, good burst, great acceleration, strong, can be physical when he needs to, but he will not absorb the hard blows. Good hands out the backfield, solid pad level, great balance control, and very instinctive. Now, on the pass catcher side, we have Amar Wagner from Kentucky, 6'5", 234 pounds. Physical, strong. He excels in a red zone situation. Good speed, soft hands, catches the ball at the highest point. He also will frustrate defenders due to his aggressive approach. He's a team guy, fundamentally sound, disciplined, good hands, highly intelligent. Nick Westbrook from out of Indiana, 6'3", 219 pounds, a solid slot receiver for his size, good hands in traffic, snatches the ball out the air. He keeps his eyes on the quarterback, meaning that he will come back to help bail his quarterback out in any situation. He's great against zone coverages. Very patient, good feet, balance, catch the ball, fundamentally sound, hand catches. He gets you his spot, very smart, very savvy, dedicated to his craft, has decent speed, great awareness, sound. He will never let the ball touch his body. Great route runner discipline, and he's in towards it. Then you have a guy named Jonathan Johnson from Mizzou. Very versatile. He's 5'10", 180 pounds. Very versatile. Great speed. Very elusive. Very elusive. He actually, when he has the ball in his hand, he actually turns into a running back. He has that instinctive way of how he's going to run after the catch. He has good hands, great feet, solid plant and go, great vision and awareness, dangerous in traffic, breakaway speed, set up his blocks well, very patient with his blockers, solid return skills, soft hands, smart, agile, excels in the slot, but he can go deep, and he's an all-talent as well. Then you have a guy like Maurice French from Pittsburgh, 5'10". 190 pounds, track the ball. He tracks the ball very well, instinctive, has good anticipation, solid in traffic, solid body. He has a solid body, solid on footwork, good hands. He's more of a possession receiver. He's not going to kill you with his speed. He's not what you consider a burner, but he is fast enough to get to a spot, and with him being more of a possession receiver, that says a lot of his maturity and his understanding of the game. Very patient, good after the catch, and he has some good wiggle, I like to say. So I'll bring that out. Then also you have Bradley, a wide receiver from Louisiana, Lafayette. Bradley, DeMarcus, he's more of a feisty type of wide receiver. Very tough, good feet and hands, soft hands, crafty, smart, stays within the quarterback's vision. Another one of those type of guys that pay attention to what's going on with the quarterback. Great awareness, good speed, good technique, fundamentally sound, and also is a disciplined route runner. Some good players here. I really like Elijah Wolf from out of Georgia, a tight end, 6'4", 205 pounds. Also, so watch out for some good offensive linemen like Aaron Buer from Texas State. You know, he's definitely one of those guys to look out for. Then also you have Deshaun Dixon, offensive lineman from San Diego State. Then you got Steven Gonzalez from Penn State. Some really good guys out there. Arrington Hambright from out of Colorado, 6'5", 300 pounds. Would not be surprised if this young man gets drafted. Now, on the defense side of the ball, he's just as exciting as well. T.J. Brunson from South Carolina, a legit linebacker that can play on the next level. Douglas Carlton. Carlton from out of Miami, Ohio. Then we have Trey Crowder from Georgia. Mike Dana from out of Michigan. And then Jeremiah Dixon from out of Auburn. It was really awesome to actually see his name on the roster, knowing that type of caliber player that he can be on the next level. Then we have Miles Doan from out of North Carolina. Miles Doan is actually can be the third North Carolina player that came through the NFL Regional Combine. Could be consecutively the third player from North Carolina to get drafted after. Well, he didn't attend the Regional Combine, but his name was on the roster. But put it like this, he's a Paris tight end. He could be the third member from the North Carolina Tar Heel to be drafted after going through the NFL Regional Combine process. In 2017, wide receiver Austin Austin Pro set everything off. He got drafted by the Buffalo Bills in the seventh round. Last year, Cole McCombs, linebacker now for the Washington Redskins, he got drafted in the fifth round. Can Doan be the third guy from the North Carolina Tar Heel to get drafted after going through the NFL Regional Combine process? You know I'm going to have my eyes on that. Safety, Reggie Floyd from out of Virginia Tech. Very good safety there. Definitely can make some waves on the next level. Linebacker, Samuel Franklin from out of Temple. He's another good guy to watch out for. And then you got Ensign Gaines from TCU. Jordan Glasrow from Michigan. One of my favorite guys who I'm high on, Reed Harrison Ricardo. I did a piece on him. I'm coming from out of Duquesne University. This kid has a total package. As a cornerback. I quoted him as being the manifestation of preparation. This kid get that phone call. If he gets drafted, I think he's a draftable player anywhere from the fifth to seventh round. But he's going to receive a phone call this weekend. No question about it. He is fantastic. Go to locker-report.com to check out his story. Great story. You know, then you have a guy named, I can't pronounce his name. It's slipping my mind. But Tyler Taven McSwain from out of Dunbar. I'm from Duke. And then also you have several other players like Tristan Bronson-Boone from South Dakota State. These are some good guys to watch out for on the defense side of the ball. Whoever name I didn't mention on this show today, make sure you go to locker-report.com. Check them out. Some legitimate guys to look out for. Starts tomorrow, today. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL starts tomorrow, today. Check me out on any one of my social handles, on Twitter at locker_report, on Facebook, lockerreport.com, and also Locker Talk podcast on Instagram, LockReport100, and also you shoot me a message via email at BarryBarnes@locker-report.com. Make sure you guys continue to check us out, even on TuneIn. You'll check out the shows there on Bachelor News Radio Network. Everyone stay safe, still love your family. Reaching out and praying for those who may have sustained some issues. A good friend of mine, L.A., his nephew, we hoping that he have himself a speedy recovery. My man, Dylan. Make sure that him and his mom continue to stay strong. Y'all guys stay blessed. Talk to y'all next week as we recap the draft on the players that came through the NFL Regional Combine process. Y'all have a good one now.
And as his family began to grow, now how many brothers and sisters do
five. My oldest sister just passed. Yes. But it was for Carol, and God bless her soul. But it's four now. And then you know, my nephew was really raised in the business. A few years different.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody always thought he was just, and he actually was.
Yes.
He was just raised along, and he was kind of, he was the oldest nephew, the oldest grandson. So he was a little Dutch uncle to
That's
Masai. That's
Masai.
Yeah. That
was my
best. God bless him, too. Yeah, he was a little Dutch uncle to the to the rest of the My mom, 12 grands and 4 great grands.
Now, your mother played a role too.
Pat, you know, my mother, in a real sense, as I said, was able to come in, and always had a part in the business in terms of keeping the office. In order, per se, taking in a lot of the orders for the tickets, the posters, just wherever she was needed, but a fast learner. And as I said, a really a wonderful helpmate to my dad in the business. And, you know, my grandmother, and one of the blessings is that I really got a chance to see both sides of my family on a regular.
Right.
But my grandmother, we saw just about every day. And she came into work every day. I mean, Pat, she came in, she had a routine. We would go downtown and pick up ads together. And she was quite a Carmelita, I'm speaking about. Now, she was quite a lady.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of her business decorum. And my mother's was the same way. You know, very, very astute, very businesslike. And I think one of the things that I learned, they always really work to do the right thing in front of us.
Mm.
You know, and had all of us, wherever we are, wherever we come from, we have a genetic makeup and a makeup from our environment. And sometimes we act or react better to what we see than sometimes what people say.
Mm-hmm.
But they really tried to set a wonderful example in terms of family. And inside of that, they were really the reason that outside of family that we would fall in love with our community.
Yes, sir.
Because they were really community-based people, and through their lifestyle, really reverenced God, and we were able to see God in them and through them, where we were able to be raised as a family to get along,
mm-hmm.
and then be a part of community happening.
Now, tell me about all your siblings now.
Well, okay, my oldest sister, Carol, passed. The next sister is Evelyn.
Now, her children were Chad?
Oh, the oldest sister is her son. Their children were Masai and Chad. And my nephew passed a few years ago, and he was a real integral part.
Was your right hand.
That was my right hand. Yeah, you know, he was out and about, and, you know, he worked in distribution. Wherever we needed Masai, he can work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's one young man I miss every day. That's for real. I think we all miss him.
Absolutely.
Every day. Yeah. But then I had my second sister is Evelyn, and she's an associate editor along with my sister Frances.
Now, Evelyn is who I talk to on the
daily. All the time. She's usually in the office. I tell her she's the glue. She's keeping everything together. You know, my sister Frances, she's a person that's in the field like myself. I'm probably in the field a little bit more than her.
Uh-huh.
She's in and keeps things rolling.
Now, Frances is married to Frank.
Frank Gus.
And he's also a writer.
He's a writer. Yep, he writes a column. And he's also a Bill's bondsman. I don't know where Bill's bonds are now.
They changed the law.
But he's also a retired firefighter.
Right.
So, and, you know, his family, Frank Gus' family, they were in the the Bills Bonds business for many, 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 many years. In fact, just in my comings and goings, I think it was just Mr. Giff and John Smith.
Okay.
I think they were maybe the only two bondsmen for a number of years, but Mr. Giff was a real fixture.
Right.
Earl Giff was a real fixture in the legal community in terms of the Bills Bonds. Yeah.
Now, your family.
Yeah. And then I have, who did I forget? Bruce.
Well, Bruce is the youngest.
Bruce is the youngest. You know, Bruce is, he's a
tremendous athlete.
He's an athlete.
Tremendous runner at East.
Yes, still trying to run, still trying to.
Well, that's where I met him.
Oh, is that right?
Years ago, he was running for East.
Yeah, love sports, love track
tremendous
and field.
Tremendous middle distance runner.
Yeah, love track and field, and still helping me.
Now, he looks more like your dad than anybody.
He certainly does.
He,
yeah,
absolutely.
He certainly does.
Looks just like Frank Jr.
Yeah, he certainly does.
And his son looks just like Bruce.
That's right. That's right. That's one of my mother's 12 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But the kids are all doing well.
They now,
all,
your family, come on.
Oh, my family is Brandy.
Yes.
That's my oldest daughter. My middle daughter is Kelly, probably the quietest one out of there, and then there's Khadijah.
Now, Khadijah used to be your other
hand. Yeah, she traveled with me for many, and still helps me out. Well, all the girls, they still help out, but Khadijah and I were together for a number of years, and when she went to school, still had an interest, and I said, Khadijah, listen, go do this schooling because technology is changing.
Yeah.
And I got to have you girls to keep the old man in the loop on this Facebook and all of this other computer technology. And so, but the kids are doing well. And, you know, the way the paper is done now and the way we gather news, they're an integral part because they're able to keep up with this much faster than me.
Well, let me ask you more on your dad. He seemed to pick up the mantle right from where Frank Sr.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people confuse the two of them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And they don't realize Frank Sr. is your grandfather. Frank Jr., in his own right,
mm-hmm.
Was a tremendous person in the community.
Yeah.
And just seemed to pick up everything that your father, your grandfather was working on prior.
Yeah.
He was active in Urban League.
Active in a number of civil rights organizations. Was a musician. You know, he had a band for a number of years and enjoyed writing. I think he really, he enjoyed taking pictures.
Yeah.
And I was just always mesmerized by him out covering events and he used to do that with such ease.
Is that where you got the perfectionist
thing
from?
Well, Pat, you know what? It was funny about that. When I first started taking pictures, he stayed with the 4x5 format, which was a big press camera. It had a 4x5 negative. And he only got two shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you got to load up again or carry other what they called holders. And so I started out, I had 12 shots, but I used to just, Pat, take one picture, you know. And we come back and he said, Frankie, let's drop that in the soup and see what we have. And he'd look, and he'd, oh, yeah, you know, you've been here. Oh, yeah, that's good, that's good. Then he used to say, well, how come you went to Pat Freeman? How come you only took one picture? And he said, you know, our thing, everybody, when they're out, they usually will come out and their presentation is always the best. They have the best ties, the best shirt, the best cologne, the best perfume, you know, the nicest clothes. And he said, that's where you are. Right? People may not know that, but you always want to present your picture in a wonderful, wonderful fashion. And if it means taking an extra 30 seconds taken. And I never realized that. He said, "You ever see people get up and speak?" I said, "Yeah, you know, Pat, that's what you do. You know, you watch people speak." And he says, "Do you think sometimes they may go over the time spot or the allotted time for them?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you do that too sometimes. That's okay." He said, "Does anybody say, man, you got to stop?" No, they go on. He said, "They just don't realize what you're trying to do." But, you know, 25 years, you don't want to take a picture and a guy says, "Oh, that's me. Mm. Where? I'm standing behind Pat. Don't you see me?" No. Just have the people move over. So that was his thing. They never rushed him because I guess he was an older guy. Maybe me. I was
they don't rush you either.
Well, sometimes they do.
But you're a perfection.
Yeah, so
if you don't, you always get on me about my glasses drooping down.
Yeah.
And if you didn't do that, I would take a bad picture.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So a lot of people need to thank you for.
Well, thank you for that,
the work,
Pat,
that you've done.
Yeah. I really. Events I enjoy. Sometimes I'm a little tired. You know, you cover several.
You
events.
Cover too many.
Yeah,
I know. You're only human.
True. But I'm like that. But then when you drop the fish into the water, see how they come alive.
Right. But most people don't realize in an average day, you go from event to event,
yeah,
taking pictures, giving people notoriety on the work that they do in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize how much work and effort that you put in to do it. And
yeah,
I've always told you.
Yes,
that,
you have, Pat, and I appreciate that.
You know, I appreciate you tremendously, not only as a friend and a brother, but I appreciate your dedication to this community along with your family, producing an entity like the Buffalo Criterion on a weekly basis is a tremendous undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I have now, I think I'm behind Eva Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Doyle's been writing over 40 years.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
And I think I'm up to 25.
25, yeah. Well, you know, we've had some wonderful people that are more than just writers in terms of our family. Or reporters, you know, they are just an integral part of our family, you know. And I often think of, you know, just in my time, you know, there was Miss Hetty Pascoe and it was Mark O'Reilly,
yeah,
you know,
that was my
those, man. Those are guys. I think Mrs. Doyle would be
Chris Stevenson.
Chris is gone, and just a number. And you know, we've got to.
Chris was the absolute revolutionary.
Absolutely. That's right.
That was my buddy.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, we had a wonderful relationship out. And, you know, he'd be on the road. He'd call me from all over the country. he would tell me this and tell me that. But, you know, our blessing has been people like you. And I say, man, 25 years, Pat, that's a long time.
Goes by quick. And when you see, you've got film evidence.
Yeah.
I've got that picture you took of me and Khadija when she was little.
Yeah, that was at the station.
I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Time has just flown by. And it's been a nice experience for the kids in the family. You know, the generation under me, because you know they sit, they work, they look at the pictures and they know everybody,
right?
From the pictures, and I think that's a great thing. I went to the State of the Black Family, and it's an event that
Umoja,
yeah, Umoja,
yes.
Brother Peoples hosts that program, and it's a wonderful program, and I. This year, December 2019, I was one of the presenters, and there's maybe 15 other presenters, and I listened, and all of those stories that were told, I felt as though I was a part of them because I either knew the people, experienced this story, Those
or took pictures.
It took pictures. They came into business. My father knew them. It was some connection to every one of those presenters that was on that, and many of Bill's programs.
Many of them are ancestors.
Yeah,
some
yeah,
of the people.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr.
Yeah.
Isaac Moussa Barashango,
yeah.
Remember where he came in?
Yeah.
Dr. Khaled Muhammad.
Yeah,
you can just go down the list, man. You have a documented history that needs to be tapped into. And we're going to have to do more interviews of this nature because I'm just scratching the surface of the brain of Frank Merriweather the Third. Okay? The library's not named
That's
after
right. That's right. That's right.
It's named after his dad.
That's right.
And his
That's
grandfather and Carmelita are the founders of the Criterion Press, which later became the Buffalo Criterion newspaper. We have done a job educating.
Yes, thank you for that.
And we're even on Facebook Live. Can
Facebook,
you believe that?
Yeah, Pat, I can, you know, and as I said, I want to really give a shout out to all of the writers and the contributors, our extended family. You know, Ms. Doyle would be 41 years with us.
41.
At the end
her
of
event
month.
Is the 29th?
29th, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, over at the Merriweather.
Over at the Merriweather Library.
Right. And then, Pat, you're in next at
25.
At 25. And Jewel McGee has been with Mr. Ted Kirkland, has been a contributor for a number of years.
Oh, man, Brother Ted.
Yeah. Sister Amin and Baba Ng. They're contributing, and I said to myself, these are some folks that you could trust what they say.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean, Pat? That's
incredible.
Beautiful.
Nobody's ever attacked me from an article that I've written.
That's right. You know, and
now, you know, from that, this year I was brought into the Pro Football Writers Association from what I've done at the Buffalo Criterion over 25 years.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, Pat, as I said, we thank you, and not only are you just an invaluable asset to my family and the paper, but just to the community at large. You know, it's something I think about your show, and Pat, when I'm working Saturday morning, I said, man, Pat is on his way in.
I'm on the Rochester now.
And then,
I'm trying to keep the comedy thing alive.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, this is a man should he retire from the sports.
Should I
industry.
Retire and just go into comedy?
He can go. My family says he's got a career waiting in comedy.
Oh, man.
So, but yeah, I mean, Pat, just a nice thing, and
I would hope, and the reason I wanted to do this interview is because so many people see you at the events. They don't get to talk to you the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of information there is that you have and how your family has played an integral part in the African community of this area,
mm-hmm.
let alone the nation,
mm-hmm.
I think is a story that has to be told,
mm-hmm.
and we have to continue to tell
that
story.
Well, thank you, Pat, for your work, and thank you for this platform. Pat, you know, I was saying, because my daughter was saying, Daddy, you know, you've taken a lot of pictures of Bob and Pat, now you're going to be on the show. I said, that's right. I'm going to be she was just saying, out of all of the different events, Pat, that we've covered from, you know, masonry down to your sports,
everything.
Your community service, you know, with your family, your mom, who's a sweetheart, you know, your daughter, your Mrs. Pat Freeman, all of that. I mean, it's been a wonderful,
smoking
wonderful
day. Salmon, too.
Smoking salmon, pictures of smoking salmon. You know, this man, he's got a career, and he's a pit master. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's right, Pat. You see, And
oh,
I mean, we've been blessed to be. We've been blessed.
It's all part of the service.
Yeah. Well, Pat, we thank you for that.
I thank you and your family for providing a platform for not only this community, along with the other papers in our community. It has to be a form of dedication that's inside of you to continue to do that type of work. And I thank you tremendously for giving me that platform, which has led to many doors opening for me. Not only being brought into the Pro Football Writers Association, but also going to the Fritz Pollard Alliance at the Super Bowl and my Super Bowl coverages was all in part due to my association with the Buffalo Criterion newspaper. So without that newspaper, I would not have that professional credibility, and I thank you for that.
Well, Pat, you know, we thank you in this work, you know, and our journey here, living on this planet called Earth. You know, we're called to love people. But Pat, see, you an easy brother to love, and you're fantastic, a fantastic writer. You know, you know, some folks are a little harder to love, Pat.
We're gonna have to do this again.
I look forward to that.
We're about out of time here on Pro Talk with the Mighty O. This is a special edition of Pro Talk with the Mighty O, but with my good friend, the publisher of the Buffalo Criterion newspaper, Frank Merriweather III.
That's right.
Frank Merriweather Jr. is his dad, which the library is named after, but the founder of the Buffalo Criterion newspaper and Criterion Press was Frank Sr. and his grandmother, Carmelita.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we honor them. This is Black History Month.
Yes,
and
you
have provided us a continuance of Black history and service to our community.
Well,
here
we
in
thank
Western
you.
New
like
York.
I say, Pat, I like to. We could not do that our work without the wonderful writers that we have and contributors, the community at large, and Pat, even our spouses, because you know this is not a 9-to-5.
No, it
isn't. Gig. You know what I'm saying?
And they get mad.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have date night.
You got to have date night. You know? So thank you. And as I said, Pat, even beyond the work, I certainly appreciate your friendship and your brotherhood. And, you know, it's good to be with good people.
Absolutely.
And I really and truly thank you for that. And if I thanked you, Pat, you know, a million times, it wouldn't be enough. So,
I appreciate you.
Yep,
that's all for us here on Pro Talk, live with the Mighty O. But today
we
did an experiment on Facebook Live, and we were live today with my good friend Frank Merriweather III.
Thank you, Patrick.
And y'all need to make that distinction. Please make that distinction. Frank Merriweather III, Frank Merriweather Jr., and Frank Merriweather Sr. Three different people.
That's right.
All great within their own right.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you very much.
All right. That's all for us here today on Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba.
Thank you. God bless.
Imagine a league built by the people, for the people. A league dedicated to the economic development of your city. So the question becomes, how good are the 32 teams that play in the Minor Football League? Well, there's only one way to find out. You have to experience the MFL.
the single best part of my day. I hang on every word that you say. I'm addicted to you, everything that you do, baby. In my solar system, you are the sun. Feels like my life's just begun. Girl, I love how you shine, and I'm so glad you're mine, baby. I walk with my head in the clouds. My heart from the bottom I bow. I hold nobody's hand but yours. You can believe for sure I'll be nobody's man but yours. Baby, I'll kiss nobody else's lips. My command is your every wish. You can believe for sure I'll be nobody's man but yours. You're the reason why I'm living a dream. You're all the inspiration I'll ever need. I set my compass to you. How do you do what you do, babe? I'm flying 10 feet off the ground. And I never wanna come down. I'll hold nobody's hand but yours. You can believe for sure I'll be nobody's man but yours. I'll kiss nobody else's lips. My command is your every wish. Can believe for sure I'll be nobody's man. I'm sure no man has ever felt a love like this before. I'll hold no other hand but yours. You can believe for sure I'll be nobody's man but yours. Babe, I'll kiss nobody else's lips. My command is your every wish. You can believe for sure I'll be nobody's man. Nobody's man. Nobody's man but yours.